Scrutiny is intensifying over Saturday's missile alert blunder, with both federal and state investigations underway. In some circles, given that it's an election year, it's become a political football. But politics aside, we're talking live with retired Air Force General Dan Leaf. He served as deputy commander of the U.S. Pacific Command and is a former head of the Daniel K. Inouye Asia Pacific Center on Security Studies. Welcome to our studios.
Thank you. Aloha.
You know, given your experience, what's the big takeaway from this unfortunate incident?
Well, I'd say regarding the false alarm, it was a bad thing that it happened, and I'm confident that we'll figure out what went wrong. But it demonstrates that Hawaii is, in my mind, the only of the 50 states taking it seriously, and that there is a real threat that we have to be prepared for.
And what were you doing that morning, and how did it affect you?
I was sitting at home doing some writing and got a call from a friend that said, hey, is this real? I hadn't heard sirens, and I didn't get the text alert. And within about 10 minutes, I found out it wasn't. I told them and told myself, you have to treat it like it's real. But the thing that made me question that was that I didn't hear the sirens, and I would have.
And walk us through this, because I think a lot of people think, well, the word would come from the military. They would be the ones to know if something was amiss, and then it would trickle down to the state. And, you know, so explain that.
Well, it wasn't well demonstrated Saturday, but there really is a good partnership between Pacific Command, the component commands, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and the Coast Guard, and the state agencies, and particularly HEMA. So a real situation might have been generated most likely from Pacific Command or NORAD to the state, and then the alert would have gone out. But the state, the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency, has that responsibility for all kinds of civil defense warnings. So they're the right people to do it. A mistake was made.
Okay, and you mentioned NORAD. If you could explain to our listeners what that is.
North American Air Defense Command. And with overall responsibility for defense of the Western Hemisphere. I'll make it that broad. It's not quite that broad, but nearly.
All right. So you folks in the military with military background knew something wasn't quite right. And I think a lot of us, you know, I was on the beach at the time, and we stopped and listened and said, we don't hear the sirens. This could be a hack. We weren't sure. It didn't sound like it was – it didn't just feel right. But we didn't know. We didn't know at that point.
I didn't think – and I reminded myself and the person who called that we can't assume it's wrong, but it didn't feel right. You still got to take preventive measures. And I've experienced missile attacks on our headquarters when I served during the Iraq War with the Army during the Second Iraq War. And, you know, my spider sense wasn't tingling. But you still have to take it seriously because you don't have very much time.
Right. And talk about the likelihood of something like that happening here. You know, what are the chances that...
I'll try to give a good, concise answer, but first we have to recognize that the threat is real, that Hawaii might be seen as a legitimate target for the North Koreans because of its iconic – it is an iconic part of the United States, but we've got key military commands that would handle any response to a North Korean attack. Distance-wise, it's further than Alaska, but probably the closest real target likely for the North Koreans. So – it could happen, and there's a lot of why the U.S. is priority number one, public enemy number one by the North Koreans, but that shouldn't make our residents and visitors worry too much. It should make them be prepared, and the reason it shouldn't is if you calculate the likelihood that you're going to be impacted by a North Korean strike, first of all, you have to assume that they're going to launch, and that's not a safe assumption. It's more than zero, but not guaranteed. And then take the launch. Launching a missile is not easy. It is, in fact, rocket science. The guidance of getting it to the right place, also not easy. The functioning of the separation of stages and the warhead itself. Okay, all of those numbers are less than one and somewhat greater than zero. And then take the probability that it will be intercepted by one of our ground-based interceptors on the mainland or in Alaska. So it's a number that isn't very big, but it's more than zero. So you've got to be ready. And I think what HEMA, the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency, has tried to do is get you ready. Because even if all of those things work and our ground-based interceptor doesn't for some reason, you still have a high probability of survival. And the actions that HEMA recommends are important and legitimate. Taking cover, maintaining cover, having food and water, following the instructions that you can find in their PowerPoint slide on their website. They all matter.
Right. And you mentioned that we're really the only state that's doing this.
As far as I'm aware, nobody else has taken this threat seriously. And how many of the other states are threatened? All of them. So we can be mad at HEMA and should be upset about the impact that had on people Saturday morning, but we should also be grateful that they have people taking it seriously.
Right, that we're ahead of the game at this point. Mm-hmm. It may show certainly the weaknesses in our system and the vulnerability and what we need to do going forward to get our subs in a position where we're ready.
You're not going to make a mistake if you're not doing anything. So the other 49 states haven't made a mistake. But they'll learn from the mistake. I have great confidence in the people involved and know many of them.
And why wouldn't the military get involved if they knew, based on their information, and I imagine there's somebody watching the radar, the screens, to make sure there's nothing incoming, that they wouldn't somehow step in and say, hey, can we help you, state emergency, you know, how do we get the word out?
I've seen several timelines, and the timeline that was in the news yesterday was the 20 minutes between HEMA talking to FEMA, a civil federal emergency management agency. But some of the timelines I've seen in my own conclusion is that HEMA officials talked to Pacific Command and their Joint Operations Center before that. So I'm certain there was and would be interaction to verify. It's a two-way street. They train for it. They exercise it. And in my experience, I'm biased because I was part of it from 2005 to 2008. The lash-up between the military and the state is as good here as it is anywhere in the U.S.
But because it was a state alert that went out, the military wouldn't
necessarily
kind of step in.
And the Joint Operations Command Center at Camp Smith is an area where people don't take their cell phones because of classified activity going on.
Oh, interesting.
So they may not have seen cell phones. It was a perfect storm of circumstances to bring all of the challenges that we still face to light.
So I wasn't aware of that. So basically there's an area where cell phones are off limits.
Yes,
up there.
Many, even businesses, just for cybersecurity, don't allow cell phones in certain areas where sensitive matters are discussed or where there's sensitive equipment.
Okay. But basically the word obviously got to the commanders over there at Camp Smith, and they were able to verify that, there was no threat. Because all along we've been hearing that things have kind of backed off. I mean, you've got, as far as Korea goes,
mm-hmm.
There wasn't the rhetoric, the fiery rhetoric and things. They were talking about the games, and so it was just awkward to have it come at that time.
Well, I will say that my initial response, and I spent a lot of time thinking and writing about North Korea and talking about it, was that if they were to do something, it wouldn't be in the middle of a lot of rhetoric. Why would you telegraph your move? So the current circumstances weren't part of my thinking about the probability that it was a real attack.
Wow, okay. And anything else you think that should be top of mind as we move from this blunder to how do we get better, how do we avoid a situation, how do we reexamine our protocols and make sure that everybody's got a plan going forward?
I think the one thing I'd say to the audience and anybody who will listen is that North Korea is everybody's problem, and it's a real problem. And we've heard people talk about how this highlights the fact that the problem needs to be solved. I think things are being done, both with a hard edge and a soft edge. The Olympics on the soft side, sanctions and military deterrence on the other side. But we have to take this seriously and can't accept the dangerous status quo that's existed for so long. There's one element that I haven't seen anybody else write about or talk about that I'd bring up, and that's reconciliation between the U.S. and North Korea. We are public enemy number one. Part of that is the propaganda of the regime, building support for it. And part of it is the fact that North Korea was devastated during the Korean War, with losing about 80% of its infrastructure and 20% of its people. And unlike our other adversaries, Great Britain, Germany, Japan, and Vietnam, there hasn't been a serious attempt at reconciliation. I think that has to start not government to government, but ex officio with folks from both sides. It will be a grinding process. But until we get past the past and focus on the future as people, the problem will never be solved.
All right. Thank you, General. That was retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Dan Leaf. He's a former deputy commander of the U.S. Pacific Command, who now runs the security consulting firm Phase Minus One. All this week, we've been asking you to tell us about your experience during last week's false alarm. Here's some of what we heard.
Hey, my name is George Allen, calling from Maui. My wife and I were headed to a camp, a church camp for kids up at Camp Malahia in Wahee. When we got the alert in Kahului, we drove two blocks away real quick to this concrete hallway I knew of and the Queen Kahumanu Center, and we hid out there until we saw Tulsi Gabbard's post on Twitter. So, yeah, it was pretty scary. I actually wish that I'd called family if it was the real thing, but I think a little bit of doubt in me, or try to reach 911 instead of calling family. Yeah, I tried to call 911, and it was a busy line, so that wasn't encouraging.
My name is Rachel Herman. I'm calling from Honolulu, Hawaii, and I wanted to let you know that during the false alarm for the ballistic missile, I made a makeshift bomb shelter in my restroom and waited there to die. I had food and water and a limited amount of supplies, and after I stockpiled all of that, I called everybody that I cared about or texted everybody that I cared about and wished them goodbye, and had a couple of minutes of reflection in which I didn't have very many regrets, but I was very angry about the needlessness of nuclear war in general, and then our current president's reckless, childish behavior. Thank you.
You can hear other listeners' calls during Morning Edition and All Things Considered. If you want to tell us about your experience with the erroneous missile alert or anything else, you can call our talkback line at 808-792-8217. This is The Conversation.